Hello, Ducks fans. Welcome to another episode of the Quack Report. My name is Carter, your host as always. As you can see, Nate here is just lounging, you know, catching some rays on his deck here. Let's make this a little bigger for him. Yeah, look at that. See, just got a dog on his lap. Life is good. He is just chilling, having a grand old time. Let's make it. There we go. Yeah. See, not a care in the world. Drinking a Coke Zero or something. I don't know. He's got the label turned away like he's on TV or something like that. As you can see, it's I'm the only one here. So it's going to be probably a bit of a shorter episode, a bit of a different episode from the usual anyways, without, you know, Nate ranting and us having our usual banter back and forth. It's just going to be raw 100% Carter today. So hope you guys enjoy that. I'm undecided if I should leave Nate up here just so that I feel like I have someone to talk to. I can look at this picture of Nate in a Flames jersey, which is a big no-no. in a Flames jersey with a dog, just so I feel like I'm talking to someone, or if you guys even want to see. You know what? No, he's got a Flames jersey on. Get out of here. Fuck him. Yeah. Just me. There we go. Full screen. Like I said, bro, 100% Carter. No Nate today. He's away. I guess, you know, can they take a day off once in a while. So he'll be back next Wednesday. No need to worry. Nothing wrong. Just, he's just out of town. So we'll leave it at that. He'll be back for Wednesday's live stream as well. I will be there as well. I'm not going to be like, oh, well, you took a day off, so I'm going to take a day off. No, I'm just going to hold it against him as long as I possibly can here. So until I really just, you know, want a day off and make him do an episode by himself. It'll be great. This is usually the point where I ask Nate how his weekend was. I'm not going to do that, obviously. He usually never asks how my weekend is. So I guess we can just, get right into the hockey talk. Now I'll talk about my weekend. I was nothing too exciting, really. I started watching the Lord of the Rings movies again. The extended director's editions or whatever they're called, not the theatrical versions, obviously. If you're going to watch it, you might as well just tack that extra hour onto each movie, or hour and a half, however, whatever it is. I think it's just an extra hour or so. But yeah, I just finished Fellowship of the Ring this last weekend, which is a pretty good one. It's pretty slow to start, obviously, but I know that they get going into it. So yeah, and maybe we'll get that on in for an unplugged at some point here. I don't even know if Nate's actually seen Lord of the Rings. He has to have. Everybody's seen, well, not everybody, but you know, Nate's probably seen Lord of the Rings. Yeah. You know, I don't know, because otherwise I feel like we would have talked about it before. So yeah, that's an interesting one. I'm going to have to ask him that on Wednesday. Well, actually, I can ask him now. Nate, have you seen... Oh, no, never mind. Oh, I forgot he's not in the chat anymore. Bad joke, sorry. I don't know. I'm going to have to ask him. If there's any other Lord of the Rings fans out there, let me know. At Carter_Potts, P-O-T-T-S _97 on Twitter. Shoot me a DM. Or The Hobbit, or whatever. I actually started reading The Hobbit, the book, a couple weeks ago. Just for fun. I've had it for years and just never bothered. And I was like, over the holiday break, I was like, you know what? I could get into The Hobbit. And and then I just was like, I got to watch the Lord of the Rings movies again. I don't own the Hobbit movies, so that's why I didn't start with those. Have seen them, obviously. But I own the Lord of the Rings ones. Well, my girlfriend does. So so we've been watching that and it's been pretty good. Yeah, let me know if there's any Lord of the Rings fans out there. That'll be something that we can talk about on a future episode, I think, with the Ducks having a break. Not next week, but like the week after, they got like 10 days off or something like that. Let's take a look here. It's like February 1st to, I think, the 10th. But I can look it up. Why not? Let's... no use being wrong when we got technology. Yeah, the 1st to the 10th, they're totally off. So we got to fill that with those episodes with something there. So it'll probably be a good chunk of unplugged stuff and general other hockey news. So maybe we'll squeeze the Lord of the Rings in there. But maybe make Nate watch it for his first time. It can be like those, there's a podcast, I forget what it's called. Potterless. That's what it is. I haven't heard it, but I've heard good things about it. Some guy, he's in his like 20s or 30s. So, but he's never read Harry Potter, knows nothing about it. So it's like his reaction to reading the Harry Potter books for the first time. I think like each episode is like a chapter or something like that. And he like, you know, dissects it and kind of ruins parts of it and is like, oh, look at this plot hole. And yeah, I don't know. I've heard it's kind of interesting, but never listened to it. So I don't remember what I was talking about. Oh, yeah. We could do like Lord of the Rings, like that. Lord of the Ringless. Something, I don't know. We'll come up with a better name for that. But if Nate hasn't seen Lord of the Rings, that's maybe what we'll do. Okay. I think that's enough of me just rambling. And yeah, we'll just get into some Ducks talk because I'm actually really excited to talk about this game here. So the Ducks played the Lightning on Friday. And that is a game that we expected the Ducks to lose, especially after Colorado. Like, yeah, they put up a good effort, but 2-0 loss to Colorado on, yeah, I guess that was Wednesday night. And you know, kind of expect the same thing from the Lightning because they're what, like second in the league or something, maybe third in the league. They're up there anyways. Maybe even first. No, I think Florida's first. Doesn't matter. I'll be wrong this time because I don't feel like looking this up because it doesn't matter. Even though they're ahead of the Ducks, we still beat them 5-1. So yeah, we had like a 4-0 lead at one point. Lightning got one in the third and then empty net shorthanded goal with 7 minutes left to, you know, top it off. But getting ahead of myself a little bit there. First off, I just want to mention that this was Corey Perry's first game back at Honda Center. First game actually playing, I guess, at Honda Center. The last time he was there, I had to look it up because I thought it was weird that he hadn't actually been back yet. It was when he was with Dallas back in the 1920 season. He was serving a suspension, 5-game suspension for a hit that he made on January 1st. So, and then Dallas was in Anaheim on the 9th. So he was in the building and they did a video tribute to him. And like there was a bunch of other things going on that day for him, but he didn't actually play in the game. So there was still the emotion around it, but he didn't actually have to be on the ice. So, has been back to Honda Center since being bought out, obviously. But yeah, this was his first game back, obviously, with last year being totally divisional based, and he was in Montreal there out east. So nice. One of my posters just fell. I just hung it back up today, obviously. Didn't put enough tape up. So if you heard what that noise was, that's what that was. Yeah, Corey Perry. Last year was like just all the games within the division. This year he's in Tampa Bay, obviously only see them twice. So I don't think we've been to Tampa yet, but obviously they just came through California. So there was that game there. And yeah, back in the 1920 season, we went to Dallas once. Dallas came to us and he was suspended and then the season got cut short. I don't know. It's usually 2 or 3 games with the Central Division there. So we might have had another game lined up against him, but potentially not. So yeah, but it was pretty cool. Called him. I think we held. Oh no, I think he got an assist. I don't remember if we held him off the score sheet or not. Let me take a look. See, yeah, we held him off the score sheet there. So quiet night for Perry's first game back playing in Anaheim. But yeah, I'm sure Getzlaff was excited to reconnect with him a little bit later. I'm going to talk about an interview with Getzlaff on what he was on the 32 Thoughts podcast. This was Friday's episode. Did like a half hour interview with Jeff and Elliot there. Sounds like it was a couple weeks old, but just came out on Friday anyways. And yeah, they talk about the friendship between Getzlaff. I'm not going to spoil too much for you there, but yeah, it was a really interesting talk. So I'm sure Getzlaff and Perry had some nice chats and whatever post-game activities they got up to there. But more into the game here. Seems like got maybe that new coach bump a little bit without, you know, getting a new coach. Dallas Eakins entering COVID protocol there. So, oh God, who was technically behind the bench for that game. I don't remember the name. I feel bad for it. But it just has Dallas Eakins, but it wasn't. I'm going to be wrong again. Don't care enough to look it up too much. But Dallas Eakins in COVID protocol. So one of the assistants was technically behind the bench as head coach. Little bit of a bump there. Maybe that's where the 5-1 came from. Either way, it's great to see them get a win out and like a dominant win as well. So that was really awesome to see. We saw the emergence of elite sniper Derek Grant with 2 goals in the game. The first one was just a rocket of a shot past Vasilevsky there. That was really nice to see. Second one on the power play, just a little bit lucky, honestly, with Vasilevsky stumbling as he was shuffling across the crease and just easy tap in for Grant. So we'll say elite sniper Derek Grant for sure on that second one, but definitely on the first one. That was a good shot. So 2 goals for Grant on the night, which is a big help, of course. Just going back to Vasilevsky saying where he stumbled on the power play there. Yeah, he just kind of looked off all around. Like there was, Grant's shot, I don't want to say it was one that he should have had because it was on the, I don't know, am I thinking of a different one? Yeah, I am. Just like a well-placed shot. Vasilevsky was in position and just like, it was one of those shots that was on the far side, or going far side. So Vasilevsky coming across and not ready or not expecting that puck to sneak past him at that angle. So not really much you can do on that one. But yeah, stumbling on the power play there, just a little bit unlucky, I think. But Lettieri's goal was just kind of a, I don't want to say a weak shot, but like a shot that Vasilevsky doesn't normally let in. Just a shot from the outside that should be an easy stop. I want to say, but one that, yeah, he just doesn't usually let in. So it's, a little weird, a little bit of an off night for Vasilevsky. Obviously on an off night for Vasilevsky, he still looks like the best goalie. Well, we'll say second best goalie in the league since we've got John Gibson, of course, but, without being biased, one of the best goalies in the league, without a doubt. Yeah. Just something wasn't right for Vasilevsky there. So a little bit weird. Don't really know what to think, but not complaining about it. Yeah, 5 goals on Vasilevsky. I'm curious when the last time the Lightning let in 5 goals was, and Vasilevsky as well. That's something I'm curious about here. So, 6-4 LA, a win in LA, so only 4 goals let in there. Boston on the 8th, they let in 5. Who was the goalie? It was Vasilevsky. So, that was still, a couple weeks ago at that point. They let in 9 against Florida. I mean, that was when Florida was on a tear there. Vasilevsky was actually out, so that was split between Legacy and Alnefeld. So not Vasilevsky anyways. 4-0 loss to Ottawa. I know I was looking for 5, but that's just that standard. That was Brian Elliott in net on that one. So New Jersey, 5-3 loss. That was Vasilevsky. So yeah, like only a few times really that he's let in that many goals in a loss. A couple early on in the season in October. Actually, that might have been pregame, so that probably wasn't Vasilevsky. If it was, it was pregame. So or preseason, sorry, not pregame. Very, very unheard of for Vasilevsky to let in 5 goals in a night. So, I think that really speaks to the Ducks' offense this year, how they've just really stepped it up, getting scoring up and down the lineup. 2 goals from Grant, a goal from Shattenkirk. Who are the other two? Oh, Lettieri was the other one, and I'm forgetting the 5th one. No, I shouldn't be. Who was that? Delorier, the empty net. That's right. Really not the usual suspect, that's for sure. So really nice to see, especially with how deep Tampa Bay is, two-time defending Stanley Cup champions, Tampa Bay Lightning. Like, they are obviously a super deep team. You need to be to go deep in the Stanley Cup playoffs and especially to win. So like, and that team's been pretty much the same for the last few years, give or take a couple guys coming in and out. So, to have in one game to have more depth than, or have your depth step up more, I guess I should say, than the Tampa Bay Lightning is pretty huge for this team. Not saying that we're a super deep team, but the depth did step up when it mattered. Makes me excited for the playoffs if we can stay in the playoff race. Not saying we're going to go all the way. Obviously, we've talked about that on the podcast before, back when Nate was around. But you know, I don't see the depth of this team taking us all the way. But you know, we can maybe make a good push, make it past the first round, go deep in the second, maybe. Be interesting to see what this team can do with guys like Grant starting to find their form kind of in the last half of the season, or last two thirds of the season. That was Grant's sixth of the year. Lettieri's been a nice surprise when he's able to be in the lineup. Shattenkirk has obviously been a huge offensive presence on the back end. Same with Fowler. Drysdale stepping up both offensively and defensively. So yeah, I don't know. Like, I just think this team could do some damage. Like, they're very underrated, and they're like, obviously we talk a lot about the guys like Terry, Getzlaff, Milano, Zegras, even Raquel Silfverberg and Henrik, like the regular top sixers. But we don't talk enough, I think, about the bottom six. And maybe again, when the Ducks are on this 10 game, little break, I guess, that's supposed to be the Olympic break, we can get a little bit more into what these guys are contributing to the team, because they are contributing, and we didn't see that last year or even the year before that. Like, yeah, they were there, they were, you know, making big hits, they were making good plays, they were getting some points, but it's definitely improved this season. So I think that's it's really awesome to see. A couple other points I had here from this game. I just said Zegras' defensive game because I don't really know how else to describe it. Like, we always talk about Zegras' offense, but there was one play in particular. I believe it was in the second, it just led to a good scoring chance. Nothing on the scoreboard, but he just pressured the Tampa Bay defender looking for that stretch pass from his own blue line, forced him to cough up the puck, and then he was back the other way with a good scoring chance. So I don't remember much else besides that, so hopefully you guys know what I'm talking about. But I just thought in this game in particular it was especially prevalent, I guess, that his defensive game isn't the right word, I guess, like his forecheck, or and also his back checking. So yeah, I guess the defensive side of the game, you know, the puck battle portion of hockey. Like, I've just noticed that. I noticed that in this game. And, you know, I think that's a huge part of his game as well. Like, he's just flying all over the place, you know, trying to make plays and do something to generate offense. So, obviously, he's a forward and a offensively minded forward at that. But he doesn't just wait for the defense to get him the puck, or one of his wingers or whatever. Like, he's in there trying to generate offense, which I think is a super underrated part of Zegras' game, is his ability to generate offense and then also to capitalize on those opportunities. I think that's what makes him such a great player. Like, yes, he's got the flashy moves, like, as Nate calls it, the dish again, but him also trying the Michigan and just being creative and trying to direct the power play and working on his one-timer and stuff. Like, he's got all those offensive aspects, those just come naturally. But the things that I don't know if he's just been taught them, or if Eakins is trying to instill these in him more, or he learned these in the AHL or in junior or wherever it was, but his hunger for the puck, I think, is what makes him really, really solid. So yeah, that was just more noticeable in this game, and I wanted to bring attention to it, especially because he was held off the score sheet and nothing really too fancy happened in that game, but he was definitely a presence. So yeah, there's that. Last thing I had here was, and I think saved the best for last in this one. Can't talk about this game without talking about John Gibson. Like, I don't know the shots on goal here, but I think that's an important thing to bring up. 35 to 33 in favor of the Ducks. So it's not like faced too many shots, but a lot of them were really, you know, high danger scoring chances. Obviously, when you're playing against the Lightning, Stamkos, Kucherov, Point, Hedman, we have to throw him in there, and all the other guys. Obviously, like they can score. Like they're speedy, they're creative, they have the chemistry. Like you see a lot of those touch passes on power plays, right? Where, you know, guys are just shuffling the puck all over the ice when you have an extra man, when you have the man advantage. But with Tampa Bay, they're doing those kind of plays 5-on-5. It's insane to watch. Like they just know where everybody is. They can get those passes off quickly. There was one in particular. Kucherov carries the puck into the zone, and then Stamkos turns on the Jets past the Ducks defenders, and he's in kind of almost on a breakaway. Like, yeah, there was two or three Ducks in the zone, but like he was in behind them, and you know, 3 seconds before he was like at the faceoff dot by the blue line. Like it just turned on the Jets, and Gibson had to make an amazing save. Like you just got to be on your toes there. And Gibson obviously was. He had some amazing stops. He deserved the shutout in this game, honestly. But you know, I guess it wasn't a power play goal. It was like right after, I think it was Carrick got out of the box, they scored. So he wasn't quite back into the place. Kind of a power play goal, but not really. Yeah, like that was really it. And there wasn't much he could do on that one. Like he made some amazing stops. He did the glove behind the back kind of save. I forget who that was on, but I remember Vasilevsky was kind of the first goalie to do that and make an amazing stop with it. So it was almost like a big dick energy move by Gibson to pull that save against Vasilevsky. Like that was awesome to watch. Yeah. Like if you haven't seen it, you got to look it up. Just watch like a highlight package of this game. Like it'll be in there. I don't know, maybe search up Gibson, behind the back glove save or something like that. And hopefully it comes out, 'cause it was amazing. Yeah. Like I said, you know, big dick energy to do that against the goalie that's, I don't want to say known for that save, but he's the first goalie that comes to mind when I see that save. So, yeah, the note I had here was that Gibson is in Olympic form now. So as we're nearing the Olympics, Gibson is really stepping it up to take the starting role as the USA men's Olympic hockey team starting goalie, even though he's not going to get to go because, you know, the NHL couldn't get their shit together and won't let him go. And COVID. Well, it's COVID. We'll blame COVID. We'll not blame the NHL as much on this one. But yeah, with them having to postpone the games and all that stuff, obviously we've talked about it before. If you're a hockey fan, you know this. Even if you're a casual hockey fan, you know this, with the NHL not going to the Olympics, Gibson, you know, I think him and Hellebuck are, you know, going to be battling it out for that starting position. And I think Gibson made a solid case in that game if they were going to the Olympics. But maybe I should say Gibson in all-star form, because he's obviously going to the all-star game there in just a couple of weeks. Yeah, I guess beginning of February. I think it's the 4th and 5th are the dates. It's the first weekend in February anyways. And I guess that's a excellent segue into the next topic. I'm used to being with Nate and having someone to share the conversation with, but into the next topic of the podcast, the All-Star game. We talked about it a couple episodes back with Terry being the last man in. So Gibson and Terry repping the Ducks on Team Pacific Division at the NHL All-Star game. Talked about it before. It's now confirmed. Zegras is going to the All-Star game to take part in the breakaway competition for the skills competition. So, yeah, three representatives at the All-Star game. Zegras technically not an All-Star since he wasn't voted onto the team, but gets to go. So almost like an honorable mention All-Star in a way, I guess. It's great to have, you know, three Ducks representatives there. Last year I think it was Raquel was our only choice for, or I guess 2 years ago, sorry, was the last All-Star game. I think it was Raquel was our a guy in. And I think he ended up getting injured and not going, and we didn't get a replacement, if I remember that correctly. We were like one of the only teams that didn't have someone. So going from really nobody to in the All-Star game to essentially three guys going, that's a pretty big deal. It's not very often that you have three guys going. Yes, we only have two All-Stars technically. I don't think there's any teams with three this year. Oh, maybe Tampa Bay actually would have one with Vasilevsky, Hedman, and Stamkos being the last man in. But yeah, no, it's obviously you can see the growth of this team over the last couple of years. And just in the amount of All-Stars we have. So 2020 All-Star game, the Western Conference Pacific Division had, no Ducks on it. It was Silfverberg, not Raquel, sorry, who was supposed to go for the Ducks. And he wasn't injured. He had a kid. So that's an all right reason to miss the All-Star game, I would say. Who replaced him, though? It was, Pacioretty with the Golden Knights. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's who it is. Right, because they were supposed to have Fleury go. He opted out. Markstrom replaced him. They replaced Silfverberg with Pacioretty. That's what it was. So, and then the Flames ended up with three because they had Markstrom was with the Canucks there. Riddick was their goaltender there that they sent. And then they sent Giordano and Kachuk. I mean, hard to argue with those guys, but, you replace any of the other guys and they're, maybe you could replace Hughes, but then the Pacific Division only had two defensemen as it was. So just didn't really make a lot of sense. Kind of a weird circumstance. I think it was pretty last minute as well that Silfverberg, opted out for the birth of his child. So, like I was saying, huge, huge deal to have three All-Stars or three guys going to the All-Star weekend. So it's going to be exciting to watch. Looking forward to that. That'll be a topic obviously on one of our podcasts, both before and after. So, we'll take a couple weeks there and then maybe I can convince Nate for Lord of the Rings on that, kind of at the end of that All-Star break. So, all right, before we get into a couple other things here, we'll take a quick break because I need some water. I can't just, pawn questions off on Nate and take a sip now. Take a quick break. And then on the other side, we'll talk upcoming games, get Slaff's interview on 32 Thoughts, and whatever else I can think of between now and then. So, see you guys in a couple minutes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. And DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on all of the action of the divisional round. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Football Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. So, what are you waiting for? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use the promo code THPN, and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Again, that's promo code THPN, as in the Hockey Podcast Network, for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.
Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right. So let's talk Getzlaff's interview with Jeff and Elliot on 32 Thoughts there. It's a good half-hour interview. I'm not going to talk about the whole thing and everything they talked about because there's obviously a lot, but it was a really good interview to listen to. Would definitely recommend it if you're just looking to kill half an hour. I mean, the whole episode's great, but, I guess it'll only be a couple days old by the time this comes out on Monday. They'll probably have a new episode on Monday. They usually do, but either way, the half hour interview is just all at the end. So you can just skip. They even have the timestamp, so you can just skip forward if that's all you want to listen to. It's a good interview. So definitely would recommend checking that out. A couple highlights for me that I just wanted to touch on as well. They talked about, like I said, the friendship between Getzlaf and Perry there. Obviously with Getzlaf being unsigned come the free agency day this last off season, there was a lot of rumors of him going elsewhere. Obviously Montreal kind of made a little bit of sense. Well, I guess Montreal more so in the closer to the trade deadline, because there was that rumor as well with him being a good rental target. So there's a question if, he ever thought about going to Montreal. Perry was trying to, get him to come there, and he said, no, not really. Like they don't really talk about that kind of stuff. They're more just chummy, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it. But no thoughts of going to Montreal or to go play with Perry again. Nothing. It didn't sound like any, Getzlaf trying to bring Perry back either. It didn't sound like there was any of that going on. So, and then also with, Getzlaf now probably just going on 1-year deals for the rest of his career. Any talk on if he would sign anywhere else or if he wants to stay with Anaheim? He said he really wants to stay with Anaheim. He has no desire to go to another team and chase another cup. I mean, he's already got one, so he's obviously he's happy with that. He's kind of done everything he wants to, he said. So it's more just, sticking around in Anaheim as long as they want him and as long as he wants to play. It sounds like really how long his body wants him to play. Obviously, there's the other side of it as well. If the Ducks want to bring him back, I really don't see why not. I mean, if he goes in and is asking for $6 million for a year, like then they'll be like, well, no way. But if the deal is reasonable, I think he's there as long as he wants to play, which is awesome to hear. And there's, also they talked about, how long that might be. How long does he want to play? And like I said, it's comes down to how long his body will let him do that. But they phrased the question as in like, he was part of that 2003 draft, which was a huge draft class, like with so many big names. But now with them obviously getting up there in age, like late 30s, there's not many of them left. So the guys that are still left, this is according to Wikipedia, some of them unsigned, but still could play in the NHL, haven't officially retired. The first name on that list, obviously, Eric Staal. He signed with the Iowa Wild, but doesn't have an NHL contract yet. So potential for him to get signed somewhere as well. There's also the, the Olympics. He could potentially go to the Olympics. So that could be a reason why he's not signed yet. But Eric Staal, one of those guys that hasn't officially retired. So Eric Staal, Ryan Getzlaf, Patrice Bergeron, Joe Pavelski, Corey Perry, Zach Parise, Jeff Carter, Brent Burns, Dustin Brown, Ryan Suter, Erickson, Weber, Brad Richardson, Louis Erickson, I should specify, Shea Weber, Brad Richardson, Brian Boyle, Nate Thompson, Marc-Andre Fleury, Yaroslav Halak, and Brian Elliott. So 18 names left from that 2003 draft. Like I said, Eric Staal not playing. Shea Weber, obviously, big question mark if he is going to play anymore. Brad Richardson, where is he? I actually don't know. He's in Nashville right now. Has he played this season? 17 games. Okay, not a ton, but yeah, played a little bit. Brian Boyle, he has obviously played this season, but how much of that? 39 games with Florida. Okay. Very quiet season though, 15 points. Obviously the other names I think are still playing quite a bit. But I think the guy that's they were talking about, who's gonna be the last man standing from that draft class. And the question was if Getzlaff thinks it could be him. He says probably not. If I was to take my pick here, that's a tough one. Obviously, Fleury he's outstanding, and he's going to have a contract as long as he wants to play, I think. So, yeah, I don't know. Fleury could be one of those guys. Brent Burns, I think, could be one of those guys. He's still going strong. Like, he's showing no signs of slowing down there. Yeah, Patrice Bergeron, I think, could be one of those guys. I'm curious, you know, what their contract situation is like. Obviously, you can retire before your contract is up. But, oh, no, I don't want stats. I want cat-friendly. I think Bergeron's got quite a few more years left. Oh, no, he's in the last year of his deal. Oh, boy. Modified no trade and a no move. So, yeah, big question mark for him if he signs another deal there. That'd be huge for the Bruins. Brent Burns, I know he signed a pretty long deal there. Yeah, he signed through the 24-25 season. So after this season, still has three more years left. So by, you know, contract-wise, he's got the most years left. That obviously doesn't mean a whole lot. But who else we got here? There's Fleury's done at the end of this year. Just want to double check that. And Louis Erickson, I think, only has a year or two left there. So yeah, you know, lots of guys coming up to the end. Dustin Brown actually could have a few years left. He was probably signed way back in the, oh no, yeah, this is the last year of his deal, 8-year deal. I thought maybe he had like one of those big, 10 or 11 or 12 year contracts on him, but no, obviously not. So yeah, it's coming to the end of it. I mean, so Getzlaff could be one of the last few to be left standing there from the 2003 draft, but that's yet to be seen. I mean, obviously Perry and is still going strong in a depth role. Pavelski still going strong in a depth role. Parise and Suter, that, you know, they got bought out by the Wild, but they got re-signed, I don't think, to long deals. But yeah, you know, I think they can have a place in a depth role there. Yeah, Parise just the 1-year deal, and I believe Suter with Dallas was he signed 4 years. So he signed to the end of the 24-25 season, same as Burns. So it'll be interesting. No move on Suter's contract. So yeah, interesting to watch. We'll talk about it more. But I thought that was a really interesting conversation to hear where Getzlaff was coming from on that one. So talking about post retirement plans. He said he doesn't really want to be a coach, but you know, has always been interested in the management side. So could potentially see him as a GM one day. Not for next season. I don't see that. He's got a little bit of work to do, I think, in like assistant and other executive roles maybe, and he can obviously still play. So maybe by the time the Ducks are searching for another GM after this next one, it'll be the time for them, or maybe he'll feel like looking there. So we'll see. I'm sure he would love to be a GM in Anaheim over any other team, but you know, I'm sure he would take a job anywhere when the time comes. So yeah, really interesting thing there. Yeah, that's really all I had to say about that. Again, 32 Thoughts, the podcast. Go check out the interview with Ryan Getzlaff if you're interested in a little more detail. It's a good half hour chat there. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. So yeah, we've got upcoming games to talk about. I need another quick break though. And then we'll just have that short segment there at the end. But yeah, I'll see you guys on the other side of the break for that.
Hi, in case you're not from Brazil, where we are now very famous, allow us to introduce ourselves.
We're Cam.
All Canada division that is
Canada.
The All Canada.
Chris.
You trade those two guys for a clone machine and you clone Trent Frederick and you have a whole fourth line of Trent Fredericks.
And Drew.
Didn't he drop a not like actually take a but the guy said
Our podcast kind of definitely started out as a joke, and we've decided to keep it that way. But that's why we surround ourselves with smart people who really know what they're talking about.
Game and a half that she played, she looked so dominant and just such a good, like, good spot on this team.
And he'll take off in terms of being more active in the O zone and you know, being more active in the transition game.
Because there is so much involved with technical development and physical development and injuries that can really impact it. So
tune in.
The Bruins and Bruins Podcast, the Hockey Podcast Network podcast, presented by Bruins Diehard.
All right. Very fitting that is the promo for this week, the Bruins and Bruins Boston Podcast. I'd like to say that I, you know, made that happen, but it was actually just the next one in our rotation. So kind of worked out nicely because we're playing the Bruins on Monday. So date this podcast drops at 4 p.m. Pacific, which is the start of a 5-game road trip before that big 10-day break over the All-Star break and what would have been the Olympic break there. So yeah, starting off in Boston there, which is going to be a tough game. Boston has really been going. Pastrnak and Marchand, I know, have been just, you know, tearing it up over there. So, yeah, Marchand having a lot of fun. Actually, both on the ice and off the ice as well. His Twitter's been pretty good. He stole a fan's phone, actually. I don't know if you've seen that, but I should find that. I didn't have anything for What's Quack, but I'm going to find that for What's Quack. And don't worry. It's hilarious. So the Bruins, it's going to be a tough game. They, let's take a look at where they are in the standings in their division. The Bruins are currently sitting fourth, 38 games played, 50 points. I know you're thinking, man, you're just talking them up, 50 or, you know, fourth in their division though. Yeah. Well, they're in a division with Florida, Tampa and Toronto. Let's remember. So Florida and Tampa are that 1 and 2 spot, 61 points each. No one's touching them. 61 points. Toronto in third, 53, 38 games played. I mean, they got 5 games in hand on Tampa, so they get 10 points. That's 63. But like, I think Florida and Tampa have the 1 and 2 locked down. So really, it's just battling it out with Toronto for that third spot. I think they're pretty comfortably in the wild card there. Well, second in the wild card. Yeah, 50 points, 38 games, like I said, is good for second. But they got 8 points over Detroit and 4 games in hand over them. So I think it's pretty safe to say they're in the playoffs. They're 5 points back of Washington, 4 games in hand. So, I mean, they could potentially take that wild card one spot. But, and I think that would be preferable if you face the Rangers rather than Florida or Tampa. Even though the Rangers are still a good team, 42 games played, 58 points, not too far behind Florida and Tampa there. I think they're third in the league. Let's look. Fourth in the league behind Colorado. But yeah, Tampa, Florida, obviously 1 and 2. So, I mean, it's hard to say. Like, either way, I think you really want to – well, no, you don't want to get third in the division because then you're guaranteed to play Florida or Tampa. I think you want that first wild card spot if you're Washington or Boston or Toronto. Because then, then you face the Rangers, which I think is a more winnable series. Not a winnable, it's still going to be a tough series, but a more winnable series than Florida or Tampa, that's for sure. So, yeah, that's my opinion on that. Either way, Boston is going to be a tough game. They, like I said, they've been rolling lately. Let's take a look at their last few games played here. They... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They've won 8 of their last 10 games. 10 games. They've won 10 of their last 12, the 12 that they've played since the holiday break there, going back to January 1st. So the only teams they've lost to are Minnesota, which was a 3-2 loss. And they lost to Carolina last week, 7-1. That was a tough game, but you know, all their other games they've won a few in convincing fashion, including a 7-3 win against Washington, 5-1 Montreal, I guess 5-2 against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So like some good team, they've played some good teams and yeah, they've just been rolling. So it's going to be another tough win. You know, we had our doubts against Tampa Bay. Colorado had our doubts, and it was actually a really close game as well. So it's going to be tough to say what happens against Boston here. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I don't want to predict a score. It could be a win, and that would be super, super exciting, especially to start off the road trip. But, you know, also expect a loss. This is a good Boston team here, and we're on the road as well. So, yeah, moving on to Toronto. We play them Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific. Yeah, they start at 7 local time, right? But 4 Pacific is tough for, the West Coast teams that are visiting. So it'll be tough to watch these games. I mean, it's 5 o'clock where we are here, so it's a little bit better, but not ideal still. Hopefully you guys can catch the end of these games. But yeah, Wednesday in Toronto, 4 p.m. start. Again, another tough team, you know. Toronto, we were just talking, they're third in their division as well. So looking at their last few games played, they've kind of been back and forth. They, going back to January 1st after the holiday break here. What happened there? Sorry, app just crashed on me. Going back to January 1st, beat Ottawa and Edmonton, overtime loss against Colorado, beat Vegas. They lost to Arizona. I remember that one. That was funny. Beat St. Louis, lost to the Rangers, beat the Islanders. So they're kind of back and forth. Not too hot right now. But, our game against them will be their first game after a few days off. So maybe we can catch them a little rusty in the first. It's kind of what we did against Tampa Bay. You know, we came out hot in the first, got a good head start on them, and then they just couldn't climb back. So maybe we can play that way against Toronto. That'd be nice. But, just to quickly mention the other teams on this road trip here. Obviously, we'll have our live stream after that game. Actually, it won't even affect it because we usually do 7 Pacific. So, I mean, depending on if the game goes super late, we might push our live stream a few minutes late just to catch the end of the game and wrap things up there. But you can expect 7 p.m. Pacific roughly for the Wednesday live stream. So Boston, Toronto, Montreal on the Thursday, Ottawa on Friday, and then finishing it off in Detroit on Saturday. So starting the road trip tough is going to get easier. I think we win one of Boston, Toronto. I think we, Montreal, Ottawa, and Detroit, we should win all those games. So, you know, 8 out of 10 points, is that too much to ask on this road trip? I really don't know. And then lose to one of Boston and Toronto. Like, I don't know. We should win Montreal, Ottawa, Detroit. It's just, I don't know if I want to say, you know, we win those three games in a row, especially on the road. I think we win Montreal. They're a bad team. We always play really well on the second half of back-to-back. So Stolarz will probably be in net. Knock on wood furiously here. Like, I think that's a winnable game. Ottawa, I mean, they're a good young team as well. Maybe they steal a win. Detroit, they're obviously up there. Like, they're out of a playoff spot right now. Probably not going to make it. They're third in the wild card, though. Like, they got some good guys. Larkin, Bertuzzi, Nedeljkovic and Net there. Raymond and Sider. We talked about them all the time when we talk about Zegras and the Calder race there. Like, they're still a good team. They're going to be up and coming in the next couple of years there. Yeah, Ottawa and Detroit actually aren't going to be easy games. So, you know, I still want to say 8 out of 10 is a good number for this road trip. I'd be happy with 6 out of 10. Honestly, we beat Boston, Montreal, and one of Ottawa and Detroit. I'm just hoping for some good. I hope we can. Obviously, I hope we win all these games. We win all 5. That would be amazing. Put us on a 6-game winning streak. That would be awesome. We haven't had a good winning streak in a long time since that long one, that 8-game winning streak early on in the season. But yeah, that would be a good road trip for me as well. We'll bring this up again on the live stream, see what Nate thinks. And hopefully Rally Chris tunes in and he likes predicting our road trips or just our trips in general and or homestands, whatever it may be. And he's done pretty good. Not perfect, but I'd like to see what he thinks as well. So, that's really all I have to talk about here. I'm going to see if I can find the video of Marchand stealing this kid's phone at a game. Marchand steals phone. I saw it on Reddit. So, perfect. Here it is. This is the one I saw on r/sports from a couple days ago. Just let me get the share screen going here. And we're looking for this one. All right. Let's make her full screen. Can you guys see that? No, you can't. Good thing I looked. There we go. Oh, can I do picture in picture? Oh, sick. Okay, here we go. So yeah, if you're not, I know we try and tailor what's quacking. Sorry, what's quacking? I know we try and tailor what's quacking to the guys listening as well. I mean, you kind of can, but really all you need to know is this is post-warm-ups at a Bruins game here where the Bruins are at home. Marchand's walking off the ice, you know, fans getting high fives or waiting for high fives from some of the players. This fan has their phone out, taking a video of them walking down the tunnel. And yeah, Marchand just steals it and, you know, gives the guy kind of a free cameo, honestly. So yeah, I'll let you guys watch it here.
Hey, what's up? This is BM63. Just walking off from warm-ups. Hope, I don't know whose phone this is, but hope you have a lot of fun tonight, because I know I'm going to. Anyways, gotta go. See ya.
I love that. That was an awesome video. I already stopped the screen share, but if you go back and watch it again, I just typed in Brad Marchand steals phone, Reddit, first hit. So you can hear just like this super high-pitched scream in the background of this kid yelling. So I like to imagine it's the kid yelling like, hey, like, you can't just steal my phone. But yeah, hopefully they had a good laugh about it. And, you know, that kid's got that video forever, hopefully. And that's hilarious. So that's all I got. Really a Boston-centric episode for a Ducks podcast. You know, Marchand in What's Quacking, Brews and Bruins promo, which you guys can go check out them if you want some more talk before the game on Monday night. Tonight, I guess, when you listen to this, if you're listening to it when it comes out. And what was the other thing? Oh, yeah, talking about the upcoming game. So, yeah, lots of Bruins here. But yeah, hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode of me just talking for, you know, 50 minutes by myself without Nate. Like I said, he'll be back for the next episode. If you're disappointed that you didn't get to hear Nate and you didn't like this episode, you can direct all complaints to him at Tate Nomas, TateNHomas on Twitter. You know what? Double down, send it at Quack Report Pod as well on Twitter, Instagram, and all those places, because he gets the notifications for all those. And you can follow myself at Carter_Potts, POTTS_97, to tell me how bored you are. Thank you guys very much for listening. See you guys later.